Artificial intelligence can create art, write papers, even help predict illness. What does it mean for the world of tech and you? Check out Artificially Minded, a new weekly series from the Wall Street Journal's Tech News Briefing. New episodes every Monday, all this month. This is your Tech News Briefing for Friday, April 14th. I'm Zoe Thomas for the Wall Street Journal. If you were hoping by now, every time you needed to drive somewhere, that all you'd have to do was hop into the driver's seat and let technology take the wheel, you're probably quite disappointed. The truth about self-driving? It's just not as advanced as many car and tech companies promised only a few years ago. So why hasn't the industry been able to deliver? Bart Ziegler, who wrote about self-driving tech for the WSJ's Journal Reports, will join us to explain. That's after these headlines. Amazon has announced new artificial intelligence offerings, becoming the latest tech giant to cash in on generative AI. While rivals Microsoft and Google have launched AI products for the general public, Amazon is forging a different path. The company is targeting corporate customers and avoiding investing in any one AI startup. Amazon said it wants to act as a neutral platform for businesses. It plans to sell access to multiple large language models, allowing companies to build generative features off more than one. This investment in AI comes despite Amazon's CEO's grim letter to shareholders, stating the company's commitment to cost cutting. Amazon is currently in the process of cutting 9,000 more corporate jobs after laying off over 18,000 employees. Google has asked a judge to throw out the landmark antitrust case over the company's search engine dominance. Google is arguing that people choose its search engine because it's a superior product and not because of any anti-competitive agreements. Google currently handles around 90% of searches worldwide. Here's our legal affairs correspondent, Jan Wolf.
So it's unlikely the judge is going to adopt Google's request and end the case now. Basically, to rule for Google at this juncture, the judge would have to say, I don't need to hear any more testimony. I don't need to hear from experts. There's no factual disputes left. And based on what I heard at the hearing, the judge thinks there are factual disputes that he's going to need to hear more testimony about. So that's not really a surprise. You know, what we're seeing is an effort really to frame the arguments ahead of what is likely going to be a six-week trial that will be closely watched here in D.C. because of the high stakes for Google's business.
And Twitter has a new name, at least on paper. Elon Musk's social media company has incorporated in Nevada under the name X Corp. Twitter was previously registered in Delaware. Musk has other business ventures in Nevada. And as our tech reporter Stu Wu explains, Musk also has a long history with the letter X.
So why did Elon Musk do this? We don't really know, because when we emailed Twitter's media hotline, we got the auto response that all journalists get nowadays, which is a poop emoji. But what we do know is that Elon Musk in the past has used the name X a lot. His spaceship company is called SpaceX. One of his kids he calls X. And in the past, he's mused about creating this super app, sort of like China's WeChat, that he would call X. And the idea is that WeChat is this app that you can do a lot of things on. You can text message your friends, do video calls, you can pay for things, you can post updates like Instagram or Twitter. So this could be a way to position Twitter to become this American version of the super app that you can do more than just post messages on.
The platform's headquarters remains in San Francisco. Okay, just a few years ago, car companies were promising that self-driving technology was just around the corner. Now experts say it could be a long way off. We'll explain why after the break.
We've all felt left out. And for people who move to this country, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Self-driving cars have been a long-awaited promise of the automotive and tech sectors. And we're still waiting. More self-driving cars are being tested in cities from San Francisco to Pittsburgh, but the technology, according to experts, is far from ready. So what's the holdup? Bart Ziegler wrote about the future of self-driving cars for the WSJ's Journal Reports, and he's with me now to discuss what experts say is stalling its development. Hi, Bart. Thanks for joining me.
Hi. Great to talk to you.
You know, in San Francisco, you do see a fair number of self-driving cars on the road, but they haven't taken over the streets yet. Can you kind of sum up where this technology stands at the moment?
Well, it's still in a very early developmental phase. Those robotic taxis you may see in San Francisco are operated under a very special group of rules. They're very limited, and they're closely monitored by the companies behind them. But so far, there's nothing that the ordinary consumer could buy that would be considered a fully self-driving car.
We've been in the early stages, though, for a while. It feels like there's been this promise that the next stage of self-driving is coming soon. So let's talk a little bit about the holdup. You spoke to some experts about this. When did they say fully self-driving cars are coming our way?
Well, there seems to be a lot of skepticism at this point whether they ever will come our way. The industry, as you say, has invested tens of billions, if not more, in autonomous driving over the past 6, 8, 10 years. And there's not too much to show for it. They've run into some obstacles. There are various early levels of what they call driver assist technology, like many cars today have adaptive cruise control, which regulates the car you're driving so it won't get too close to the car in front of it. They have what they call lane keeping assist, which can center your car in the lane you're traveling in. And if you steer out of it, it'll steer you back in. But that's about the extent of it. There are some higher end cars that do allow you on certain highways that have been mapped and sometimes photographed to allow you to use hands-free driving. But these cars typically monitor you to make sure you're ready to take control. If your eyes wander from the road, they will notice that and, you know, set off an alarm so you start looking at the road again. So this sort of promised level of fully self-driving autonomous cars where the driver literally could take a nap or watch a movie or sit in the back seat, it's just not there.
All right. Well, let's talk about some of the technology that might help us get there then. What needs to change then within the self-driving cars to make them do more than just assist us in driving?
Well, today they have the cars that do have a bit of assistance. They rely typically on radar and cameras. And they do a fair amount of telling the car where it is, what the relationship is with the highway and other vehicles. But to be fully self-driving, they need some other systems, typically this one called LiDAR, which is a laser-based system that basically shoots out laser beams you can't see, but they're shooting out from the car every direction and can map an entire representation of where the car is, where other vehicles are, if pedestrians are crossing the street. It creates a map the car can use to safely drive. The other component behind all that is artificial intelligence, and that's where the experts I spoke to said a fair amount of work still needs to be done to really capture what the human brain does. AI would need to be vastly more sophisticated than it is today. Typically, today's AI systems rely on a database of driving situations that they've captured and sort of can work from them to figure out what's happening in real time. But one of the problems is they cannot map every possible scenario of a car and driver. They're what they're called edge cases that the systems haven't mapped, such as you're driving and suddenly a dog runs in front of the car, or suddenly a road worker stands in front of you and puts up a handheld stop sign. These cars rely on past scenarios, may not know how to handle it, and could abruptly jam on the brakes, which could cause a rear-end collision with the car behind it, or they could try to steer around it. So that's one of the main concerns, how you deal with these edge cases.
We're seeing AI become more and more sophisticated, though. You know, certainly there's concerns that AI is going to do lots of other roles that humans do at the moment. And driving feels pretty simple. You know, when most of us get behind the wheel, it's pretty intuitive. So why couldn't AI just take that on?
Well, it turns out the human brain does an amazing number of things when you're driving, and experienced drivers don't even think about it. You're making split-second decisions. Should I speed up? Should I steer around something? Is it safe to make a left turn at this intersection or not? Your brain has an amazing amount of processing capacity and inputs from your eyes and your ears and your experience that are awfully difficult to mimic with artificial intelligence. The experts I talked to said there is ongoing work in what's called detecting human intent, which would be ways to read human expressions, body language, etc. But it's very early on, and one expert said these techniques are far from foolproof. So that is a very important area and one that faces a number of challenges.
We talked a little bit about the technology that's needed in the cars. Are there any changes that are needed, say, on our roads or highways to make self-driving more of a reality?
The experts I spoke to said that is an important component of future autonomous driving, and it's in the very early stages. There's a technology they're working on that would connect a car to, say, traffic lights and weather reports and police accident reports and eventually car-to-car communication, where one intelligent car could communicate with another, and it could help the car you're driving in have a better sense of what the cars around it will be doing. But there are only very early versions of that, and one issue is some of them aren't compatible with each other. And the experts told me it could be quite expensive to rewire our highways to have all these signals being sent out by things along the roadside.
All right, that's Bart Ziegler, who wrote about this for the WSJ's Journal Reports. Thanks for joining us, Bart.
You're welcome.
And that's it for Tech News Briefing this week. TNB's producer is Julie Chang. We had production assistance from Zoe Colkin. Our supervising producer is Melanie Roy. And our executive producer is Chris Sinsley. I'm your host, Zoe Thomas. Thanks for listening, and have a great weekend.